Shall we just pray? Lord, thank you that nothing and no one comes close to you. Lord, we want you to revive our first love, to breathe your Holy Spirit into the love that we have for you, so that you do set that fire down in our soul, Lord, that you fan into flames, Lord, the fire that's in our soul, Lord. When you placed your Holy Spirit in us, you placed your fire within us, Lord. So we want to burn, Lord. We want to be consumed, Lord, by you. Lord, we want, we long for the things that that song sings about. We thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We pray for more of your presence, Lord. We pray for your presence expressed through your people, Lord. We pray for your presence to be revealed to this world, Lord. But Lord, we know we need to be more in love with you. So Lord, teach us this morning and reveal yourself to us this morning. Amen. I don't want to speak. Not because I don't want to speak, but I kind of feel a bit awed this morning. I don't know if anybody else feels a sense of awe.
Yeah.
I'll speak. Gosh, I do really feel this sense of awe. I felt this morning that really the title of my talk is Keep It Simple. Keep it simple. Keep your walk with God simple. Just keep it simple. It is so complicated, isn't it? Everything's so complicated. Yeah. It's so complicated. No, I've kind of gone off. Sorry, I'm coming and going. And that song is called Simple Pursuit. Keep it simple. I'm just going to read this scripture, and then I'll kind of end up referring to it at some point, but I won't be unpacking it straight away. Excuse me. It's from Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, excuse me, and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Yeah, I think we kind of go, yeah, you are. After that. I'm just going to start off with a little bit of a personal thing, really, about what I've been feeling recently. And I don't know if anybody feels overwhelmed at times. I do. And I have been feeling overwhelmed. And the definition of overwhelmed is to drown beneath a huge mass of something, especially water. But it's not always water, is it? But we can feel like we're drowning under a huge mass of something. It could be all kinds of things, can't it? Drowning. And do you ever feel there's just not enough of you? I do. I feel that a lot. It's not enough of me to go around. It's not enough of me to do what I need to do. There's not enough of me to be what I'm supposed to be. there's just not enough. I haven't got it, you know, haven't got the capacity, or haven't got the skill, I haven't got the whatever. I just haven't. I've got some of it, but I've just not got enough of it. And there's times when we don't feel like that, but I'm just sharing with you time when I do feel like that. And I've been going through that, and then I've come to a conclusion. And the conclusion I've come to is there isn't enough of me. So, there we go. And in the process, I've concluded as well that the commission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations is overwhelming. I've been given cause to look at all the times that I've not been enough. Now, this isn't a kind of setup so people will come to me and say nice things to me afterwards. But it's like I've had a few things paraded kind of before me of my inadequacies. And I was actually sharing this with Jim on the phone. But there was a time when, it's embarrassing. I'll share it anyway. There was a time when I was billed as somebody prophetic. And there were a long line of people at the front of this meeting. It was in Preston. So it was real. Not making it up. And they were all waiting for me to deliver prophetic words. So I went down the line with the other prophet. Have you got a prophetic word for this person? Have you got a prophetic word for this person? And it went on down the line, and I didn't have anything for anybody, not a single thing, not even a prayer, not even a nice prayer, you know, not even a made-up thing, you know. Yeah, you know, see the waters of God flooding into your life. I don't know, let's make some stuff up, you know. No, I wasn't going to do that. But no, I had nothing. I thought, they're not asking me back. And then there was a time when I was invited to speak somewhere, and I should have listened to God, because he did tell me a while before that not to go back to that place, actually. But I did. I don't know why I did. I either did it because, you know, they'd asked me. I felt I didn't want to let them down, you know, or I don't know what I just did anyway. But I should have listened to God, because he obviously knew. Basically, I spoke, you know, yeah, talk, yeah, beginning, middle, end, finish, fail. I knew it was a fail. The minute I kind of started doing it, I just thought, this is a fail. I just know it's a fail. It just kind of wasn't in their way of doing things, you know what I mean? But it was a fail, and I thought, they're not going to ask me back. And they haven't done. So that's a success. It's not on the podcast, is it? And there's times I know I've not cared enough or loved enough. There's times that I know I don't lead well. I don't lead you well. There's times I know I don't, you know, a lot of the time, most of the time. I don't react well at times. I don't do well. And if it's up to me to build the kingdom of God or to build the wider church of God, that is definitely too much. And there's not enough of me, which I know, that's not fair enough. Just because it's too much, it's too big, and I'm not enough. And it is humbling, but God wants to do something with that. So in the light of all this, I'm not enough. I said to Jim on the phone, I said, I feel like a fraud. Sometimes I feel like a fraud. It's not I'm pretending to have a walk with God and I don't have one. I mean, it's not fraudulent in that sense. It can be, for me, in terms of, like, what expectations are. You know, I'm not going to live up to anybody's expectation, and I've said this before, and you're not going to live up to mine, probably. So I just think we just need to accept that, you know what I mean? And just love each other anyway. And fortunately, I know I'm loved here. Anyway, so in the light of this, I decided to do something, okay? In the light of not being enough, I decided to do something. Okay, and what I decided to do was lie down. So I thought, all right, okay, in the light of not being enough, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lie down. Not lie down and give up, just lie down. There's a difference. So there's two extremes we can go to. One is we can think that we can achieve the spread and building of the kingdom of God through great planning, talented architects and builders and lots of hard graft. Now, you know, I don't actually think that's a flavour of who we are as OCF, but it is the flavour of us occasionally, I think, and it is the flavour of the places as well, you know. But I'm not, you know, so I think it is in us as people to do that. But what that does is it results in religion and a heavy yoke. And it results in pride, because then you can turn around and look at the thing that you've built and say, look what I built. You know, look what we achieved, you know. Look what we achieved through all of our prayer. What? Look what we achieved through all of our fasting. Look what we achieved through all of our good works. Look what we achieved through all of our sacrifice. Look what we achieved with all the things that we did for God. And there's a story of Chinese church leaders going to visit America, and I don't know where exactly it was, but they went to visit, and they were shown around some various churches, and the Chinese leaders at the end of it said, it is amazing what you've managed to do without the Holy Spirit. And the other extreme is that we can become preoccupied with what we're not and what we don't have. But that leads to hopelessness and an overwhelming burden, which paralyzes us because it's all too much. But neither of those leads us into God's purpose. Neither leads us into God's purpose. So a well-known speaker said that he had been doing what I had been doing. And he says, I was preoccupied with who I wasn't and who I'm not, rather than who he is. And who am I and who are you? Well, I am his child, his well-beloved, his dear one, the apple of his eye, his son and his daughter, his heir. I have a place in his heart and a seat at his table. I've got a position at his right hand and a room in his palace. I have the right to speak to him. I have unfettered access to him. And he has lavished his love on me and you. Lavished it. My mum used to say, you know, well, I used to say to my mum, you know, do you want some toast on your butter? You know, he's lavished, you know, slathered the butter on us. You know, his love, more and more of his love. And it doesn't stop. He doesn't stop lavishing his love on us. And it won't stop ever, ever, ever. Yeah. You know, you saw that, like, that waterfall there, didn't you? And I remember the animate waterfall, you know, not like waterfall in flood, if you like, you know, that never, never stopping. He's lavished it on us. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And he wants us, this is the simple thing, to be lovers of him first and foremost. There's a whole load of complicated stuff. Lots and lots of it. Lots of messy lives. Lots of things not going right. Lots of prayers we want to pray, lots of things we want to see happen, lots of destruction, lots of loss, lots of brokenness, there's lots and lots and lots of mess. But he doesn't want us preoccupied with that or even what we're going to do about it. That isn't what he wants our vision to be filled with. He wants us to be lovers of him first and foremost. And in doing that, we need to accept that he is good and he loves us. whatever anything else looks like. Sometimes I am the main preoccupation of my prayer. In my life, I am the one who can be being worshipped, even. You know, if I am in that pole position at times, you know, I am, it's like a bit, it's idolatrous really, isn't it? You know, and by that, I'm not saying he's not bothered about me. But what I'm saying is, where do I start? Where should I be starting, you know, from? Our main preoccupation should not even be others. All the poor, all the broken, all the needy, all the lost. That is not our main preoccupation. It's first things first. First things first. Doesn't mean we don't not bother about all that. Of course we are. But who is his main preoccupation? Who is his main preoccupation? Well, his main preoccupation is us and others and the poor and the needy and the lost. But we need to make him our main preoccupation. Because we can do and we can clash and we can bang and we can clang and we can make a noise, but it won't build anything for the kingdom of God. If I give my life to the flames or whatever and have not love, it doesn't achieve anything in the kingdom. It's not, you're not building for the kingdom. You're not building something that will last because it has to be birthed out of agape love. And you or I, we do not have agape love in our humanness. We don't have it because it's an unconditional love. And God is love and he is agape. He is agape, however you want to pronounce it. He is it. So if you search for agape love in yourself, you're not going to find it. But if you search for agape love in the Holy Spirit in you, you will find it. Because love comes from God. And love is given to you from God so that you can love. But how are we going to be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God? How are we going to overflow with the Spirit of God unless we do what Sam said? And put our hands out and allow ourselves to be filled. So the Lord is calling you and I to a simple, laid down life of surrender and adoration. He wants us preoccupied with him. To surrender is to hand over the power and the authority to another. To give up to hand over, and to stop resisting. And when I decided to lie down, that's what it was. I decided to surrender. I hand over the power and authority to him because he can be trusted. That's what Ailsa said, wasn't it? That you decided to trust. Because you decided to believe what you believe, which is that God is good. And you decided to believe what you believe, that God cares for your father. So you decided to believe what you believe and to act on what you believe and to trust. I hand over that power and authority to him because he can be trusted. I yield. I yield. And if it's not going your way at the moment, yield.
Yeah.
Yield. He's looking for those who are chasing his heart in humility. He is enough. Roland Baker, who's the husband of Heidi Baker, said, following Jesus is putting all your eggs in one basket. One person. There's only one person you can trust. Only one you can go to. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The point of following Jesus is not that he will make your life work a little better. This is still Roland Baker. Accelerate your path to wealth, health, success, and fame. Jesus is the point. I think that point's lost on us sometimes. He is not the one who gives you what you want to make your life better. He himself is the treasure. And if you don't think he is, or he hasn't been, we need to dig deeper. We need to yield more. We need to open more. We don't chase miracles. We chase Jesus, and miracles chase us. Never chase joy, wealth, fame, health. Chase him. Now, there's a upshot of that, isn't there? That he does bring us joy in his presence. And there are many other things being in relationship with him brings, but it's not like that's it, you know, you've come into relationship with him, that's it, you know. You've been dragged from the sea onto the shore, you're lying there gasping, you've been saved. There's a whole realm of creativity and exploration to go into, which is our life. And there's so much more of him that he wants to reveal. Now, we do have a big commission and we're not called to be idle. But first, we have to be lovers of God, not lovers of God's stuff. There's loads of God's stuff in lots of different kinds of ways. In lots of different streams of Christianity, there's loads of God stuff, loads of God theory, loads of theories about how to do stuff. You know, I think he's saying, you know, let's just put all that down, put it all down, and surrender the power and authority of our lives to him. He does want to overwhelm us, but not with stuff, but with himself. Moses was overwhelmed by God when God spoke to him from that shrub in the desert that was burning but not consumed. Moses surrendered himself into God's hand. He heard a call on his life. He yielded all that he was and all that he wasn't. He talked about what he wasn't, didn't he, to God? He yielded all that he was and all that he wasn't. And Peter, when he stepped out of that boat, he stepped away from trusting in his own power and authority. And he said, tell me to come to you. And that's kind of where he wants us now. Tell me to come to you. And we, you know, if you're hungry in your heart, it's like you're saying to God, now tell me to come to you. And the Lord said, come. And that's what he's saying. He says, come, come. Now, the message in Matthew, the Great Commission, is go. But the first message is come. You can't go until you have come to him. Not just for like the first drag off the out of the sea, onto the shore, gasping. It's the rest, all the rest of the time. You know, we need to come to him, come to him, come to him, come to him. Like, yield to him. Whilst Peter stayed focused, we know this story, don't we? He carried on walking on the water. You know, he's to be commended for stepping out of that boat. He's to be commended for wanting to go where Jesus was, to want to be with him. So he was stepping on every other authority or rule. Every step he took on that water was a step on every other authority or rule of his life. Every step was a step of yielding, actually. Every physical law was being broken when he walked on the water. Because eyes on Jesus was enough. He had the authority and he held him up and he sustained him. In the face of the strong wind and the waves and the breakers, he did keep walking. But then he looked at the wind, didn't he? And he did become afraid. And we will be afraid at times. But we just need to remind ourselves that he is with us. He's made loads of promises about being with us. But immediately Jesus caught him up and put him in the boat and got in the boat with him. When Peter stepped out, he said yes with his feet. So when he said, tell me to come to you, and Jesus said, come, and then he said yes, but he didn't say yes in words, did he? He said yes because he did it. He stepped out of the boat. Heidi Baker says, we can have as much of God as we want to if we continually say yes, yes, yes. When you say no, that's when the flow stops. So how do we get fully surrendered? One tiny step at a time, 1 minute at a time. The first part is to set your feet in the right direction. When Peter swung his feet over the edge of the boat, he was setting his feet in the right direction. So each little part is like one little bit nearer, isn't it? It's incremental. Dwight Moody said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. Fully. So we all know it's like in part, but God gets that, but it's like, keep doing it a bit at a time, keep doing it a bit, you know. And he reminds us that he can do a lot with a little. So just before the miracle of walking on water, Jesus had just fed thousands with bread and fish. That was the miracle that was just before that, this one. So again, he's saying, I can do a lot with a little. Jesus multiplied that little surrendered lunch to feed thousands. You and I surrender our little lives and he will multiply that to meet the need. He's not saying you can meet the need. He's saying if you surrender, I will multiply. And then you start to see what's beyond you. That's when we start to see the impossible things. That's when I was so encouraged by Ailsa's story, because there was that. When God said to Ailsa, you're not going to do it. That's where he wants us. You're not going to do it. But yet there are things she'd done, you know. But there were the miracle part he wanted to do, to say, look at me, I can do miracles. You can't. And he went above and beyond, didn't he? He went beyond your prayers. He went beyond your prayers. So in our surrendering and our loving and in our closeness to him, we will hear come and we will hear go. We will hear give and we will hear rest. We will hear pray and we'll hear him as he calls us and directs us, and then we'll respond. And we pray your kingdom come, and we build for the kingdom. We don't build the kingdom. We don't build the kingdom. How can we build something which is, the very definition of it is the power and presence and rule and reign of Jesus? How can you build the rule and reign of Jesus? You can't build the rule and reign of Jesus. You can build for the rule and reign of Jesus. You can do what John the Baptist did, which was prepare the way of the Lord. We can set things in order to receive the King as he comes in. We can move things about and do our part in building for. we can reveal love and beauty, compassion, generosity, out of his rule and reign in us, and he'll come and inhabit that. Okay, so he wants to inhabit the earth. He wants to inhabit us. So we don't build the kingdom. So let's stop building the kingdom and let's build for the kingdom. Let's prepare the way. Let's yield and surrender and be moldable and movable. And yes, people. And because Jesus is able to do a lot with a little. The kingdom wants to express the kingdom. So when in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He will build the church. He will build his kingdom as well. The church and the kingdom are not the same thing. But it says in Matthew 16 that I will build my church. So we can't build the church. I can't build the church. I can build something, you know. Like the Americans who, you know, the Chinese pointed out, you know, the stuff we can build, you know, by ourselves, can't we? But it's not. We can't. Because there are things that are built to last forever. His kingdom will last forever. There are things that we build for here. There are things that we set up here. There are every act of generosity in the name of Jesus, every cup of water in the name of Jesus builds for the kingdom of God. There's something in that. There's something that God will inhabit in that which will last forever. It counts. What you do here does count. What you do here does matter. What I do does matter. It does count. But it needs to be inhabited by him. And then it will last forever. And it'll be part of something. We don't have the words for it. There's no words for it in Revelation. That's why it's all picture language, really, because we don't have the words for it. We don't have words for the city of God. God inhabiting everything. We don't have really words for that, so he has to put it into words that we understand. So he will build the church on himself, and he will build it with us, and he will build his kingdom, and we can build for his kingdom. But he will be glorified, because we're not building Babel, the Tower of Babel. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves, are we? We are longing for him to inhabit. We're longing for him to be present, you know, the church, your presence again. Because he wants to go beyond, totally way beyond what you or I can do, massively beyond what you and I can do. And he wants to lift the burden off us so that we can enter into it with joy and not feel it's up to us, because it's not, thankfully. It's him who does it, but he will do it through yielded people. He'll do it through surrendered people, and we get the joy of participating. And when it talks about, you know, what is your, you know, our reward, our rewards in heaven, I've not really understood that. You know, you think, well, what does it mean? You know, what will it mean? Will I have like an extra fluffy rug compared to somebody else? You know, I'll have deep pile in my palatial bedroom in the manor house of the Lord, and you might have, I don't know, basket weave or something. I don't know. Does it mean that? Well, no, I don't think it does. It's not about stuff. You know, I think part of it is the joy. You know, when you do something and you get that reward, you are rewarded within. You've done something, and nobody says well done or whatever, but there's something about it and there's a reward. You just sense a reward within you. I think there's a part of it will be that. You'll be rewarded. So you'll be like, yeah. You'll get joy abundantly. You just because you get that reward. And I think that's part of it. So we are not making a name for ourselves, we're making a name for the Lord. And the city of God in Revelation is lit up by the glory of God. And we want fruitful lives. Fruitful lives. And the difference between an unfruitful life and a fruitful life is the amount of yield. Talk about the yield, don't you, like of a crop? Just thought about that then. Maybe not. But there's a yield. And I think the yield will be correlated to your yield. Your yieldedness. You might not see all the fruitfulness. You might not see the fruit, all the fruit. But there will be. So I think you've really, you know, we've really heard the message this morning, haven't we, about surrender. And this kind of might seem a bit of a disconnect, but for some reason it really struck me, these bits here, the videos. Yeah, you're on.
Which do you want?
I'll have Ryan first. Now, this is a testimony from Causeway Coast Vineyard, which is where Mark Marks happens to go to. It's not a testimony of healing on the streets, but it's testimony of somebody who was met on the streets. And the reason I kind of couldn't get away from that, I kept listening to his testimony, and then there's this music which we'll play afterwards, which weirdly is a rap. And I'm saying weirdly because, you know, rap's not my normal genre. But there's something about this which made me see, like, the need in the world. And, you know, the people here that might not seem to be like the ones doing the rap, they're from this group called God Squad Company or something. And, you know, there's like a slightly chubby fella in a tracksuit who's doesn't look like he's naturally a bit of a rapper doing a bit of this sort of thing, you know. And so you kind of like, don't let that put you off. Because what struck me was, one, they weren't American. Love Americans, but, you know. But it was the kind of, like, ordinary British people. And then there's a fella in the middle who I think he comes from Yorkshire or somewhere. Obscure. And he's got... But I can just imagine him living... Like, I know you work in Leyland. I can just imagine him being somebody from around there. You know, he's just, like, dead ordinary and he talks like that a bit, you know what I mean? And he's like... But I felt like there's like a correlation between we want to reach people, but it correlates to our yieldedness.
Yeah.
So if you think, I don't get why she's played these things, fine, okay. But I kept, especially that song at the end of the rap, it made me cry. I actually cried when I watched it. Yeah, that's the word, yeah, watched it. Okay, so, yeah. So we'll listen to Ryan. Yeah, let's have the lights down.
Thank you.
And then we'll yield to God.
Well, I used to live, I came a rough life.